All right, so picture this. You're at the dentist, right? Maybe getting a filling or a crown, everything is going fine, and then something goes wrong. But here's the thing, it's not your dentist's fault. The tool they're using, a hypodermic needle, turns out it had a hidden defect, and now you're injured. The question is, who's responsible? That's what we're diving into today, exploring a big case for Green v. Krasnica and what it means for professional liability.
Yeah, this case is fascinating. It's not about bad dentistry, but more about where do we draw the line? When does a professional's responsibility end, especially when they're using a product they didn't actually create themselves?
Right. Okay, so let's break it down. We've got our patient, Frances McGreen. She ends up injured because of a broken hypodermic needle. And to make matters worse, the defect in that needle, totally undetectable.
Exactly, and that's a key point here. McGreen wasn't saying the dentist, Dr. Krasnica, was negligent. She was arguing for strict liability, meaning he should be held responsible for that defective product, regardless of, whether he could have known about the problem or not.
So she's saying he's responsible just because he used it, even though he didn't make the needle himself. I can see how that could seem a little unfair to the dentist.
Right. And that's what makes this case, McGreen v. Krasnica, a first impression case. There was no precedent here. The court was basically in uncharted territory, and whatever they decided would have a big impact on all kinds of professionals using tools and equipment in their work.
Well, no pressure on the court then, right? So what did they decide?
Well, they sided with the dentist. They said no strict liability in this case. Their reasoning was that Dr. Krasnica wasn't part of this stream of commerce for the needle. He wasn't selling or distributing needles. He was using one as a tool in his practice.
I see. So you're saying there's a difference between, say, a company that makes and sells hypodermic needles and a dentist who uses those needles on patients.
Exactly. The court even said it pretty clearly in their decision. The essence of the dentist-patient relationship is professional skill, not product sales. They were separating service providers from product sellers.
Okay, that makes sense. But wait, doesn't that mean a patient could end up with no options if they get hurt by a faulty product? Even if the professional did nothing wrong? I mean, the dentist chose to use that particular needle, right?
That's a good point. And the court did think about that. They addressed it by saying that holding dentists strictly liable for every single product they use would just be too much of a burden.
So we can't really expect our dentist to be an expert on every piece of equipment in their office.
Right, they're medical professionals, not product engineers. And let's be honest, even engineers can miss things sometimes.
Okay, I'm starting to see the complexity here. So if strict liability wasn't the right approach, what were the court's reasons for not holding the dentist responsible?
So they looked at a few arguments for holding the dentist liable. One was this idea of risk distribution, basically saying professionals like dentists have the money to cover the costs of defective products, kind of like a big company could.
So like how those companies build in things like product liability lawsuits into their pricing.
Yeah, exactly. But the court said that's not really realistic for individual practitioners. They just don't have that kind of profit margin in their services.
That makes sense. It wouldn't be fair to expect a dentist to shoulder the burden for a faulty product they didn't even make. What were some of the other arguments they looked at?
Well, another one focused on accident prevention. The idea being that if dentists knew they could be held strictly liable, they'd be extra careful about choosing and checking their tools, maybe prevent some accidents. But the court pushed back on that. They said dentists just don't have the expertise to catch every single hidden flaw in the things they use.
So it's not like we can expect them to be both gentle experts and product safety experts.
Right. They're trained for dentistry, not engineering. And let's face it, even engineers miss things sometimes.
Yeah, true. So I'm really seeing how complicated this is. What about the idea that the dentist could kind of be a middleman? You know, sue the manufacturer themselves and then pass those costs along.
That came up too, but the court didn't buy it. They saw it as impractical and not really a reasonable way.
It sounds like they were trying hard to draw a clear line between negligence and strict liability.
Absolutely. They were really emphasizing that professionals are responsible for their own actions. So if a dentist is negligent, provides substandard care, then yeah, they can be held liable for the harm. But strict liability is about holding the people who make and sell the products accountable for those defects, regardless of fault. And in this case, the dentist was just using the product, not selling it.
So Migraine v. Krasnica really kind of created this important dividing line.
Exactly. It helps set those boundaries for strict liability, making it clear that it's not a solution for every product-related injury. And it goes way beyond dentistry. This case has been cited in tons of cases with all sorts of professionals, engineers, architects, you name it. All of them rely on tools and equipment to do their jobs.
Wow. So this one case had a ripple effect on how we think about professional liability. What about for our listeners out there, the lawyers and law students? What are the key takeaways from a Green v. Krasnicka? What should they think about when dealing with these cases involving, say, defective medical devices or professional tools?
The biggest takeaway is this. If you've got a case with a defective medical device, your main target should be the manufacturer. They're the ones who put it out there into the stream of commerce, and they have the most control over its quality and safety.
So going after the manufacturer directly is usually the smartest move. But what about when the professional's actions might have played a part in the injury? How do you approach those cases legally?
Negligence is probably your best bet there. But to win a negligence claim against a professional, you need good expert testimony. You got to bring in someone qualified from the same field who can explain the standard of care, basically what a reasonable professional would have done in that same situation.
So you'd have to prove that the professional messed up, somehow did something that wasn't standard practice, and that that mistake directly caused the injury.
Exactly. McGreen v. Krasnicka highlights that difference between strict liability, which is about the product itself, and negligence, which is about what the professional did when using that product.
This is really helpful. So to recap, McGreen v. Krasnicka drew that line saying strict liability is for the people putting products out there, the manufacturers, distributors, retailers. The professionals using those products in their work, they're held to a different standard, the standard of negligence.
Yeah.
And to prove negligence, you got to show they didn't meet the standard of care for their field.
You got to. McGreen can be tough to wrap your head around at first, but the message is pretty clear. It's about balance. We want to make sure people hurt by defective products get compensated, but we also got to be fair to professionals. They're just using these tools to do their jobs. It wouldn't be reasonable to hold them strictly liable for every little defect.
It's all about finding that balance, right? And it makes you wonder, where do we draw that line? When does a professional's responsibility for using a tool become something they should be held liable for?
Yeah, it really makes you think about where we draw that line. You know, when does using a tool become something a professional should be held responsible for?
It's a question that comes up a lot, especially with how fast technology is changing. Look at medical devices. They're so complex now. Surgical instruments, more specialized, even everyday tools are getting high tech.
Mm.
This whole idea of professional liability, it's not going anywhere.
And it's something we all need to think about, right? We put a lot of trust in these professionals to use these tools the right way and keep us safe.
Absolutely. That trust is built on knowing they're held to a high standard. They need the knowledge and skills to use those tools properly and make good decisions about what they're using in their practice.
So it's not just knowing how to use a tool. It's knowing when maybe it's not the right tool or when something could go wrong. Right. Professionals have a duty to stay up to date on the products they use, know the risks, and make decisions that put their clients' safety first.
This has been a fascinating deep dive into this world of professional liability. McGreen v. Krasnicka might seem like just a case about a dentist and a needle, but it really opened up this whole conversation about responsibility and accountability, how things are changing between professionals, the tools they use, and the people they work with.
It did. And it reminds us that the legal system gives us a way to deal with these issues. But ultimately, it's up to all of us, professionals, consumers, people, making policy, to talk about this and figure out how to keep things safe and fair, especially as the world gets more complex.
Well said. Thanks for walking us through this case and helping us understand what it all means.
Happy to do it. These are important conversations, and I'm always glad to explain some of the legal stuff.
And to all our listeners out there, thanks for joining us for this deep dive. We hope you found it helpful. Until next time, stay curious and keep exploring the world around you.